You're listening to the College Tribe podcast every week, or at least almost every week, right here on the local podcast page of ESPNPensacola.com. If you go to that page, you can not only find this episode of the College Tribe, you can find all previous ones. As always, I'm your host, Austin Price. Thanks so much for tuning in. I want to start this episode off with a very quick, hopefully not very awkward apology. We were going to do the show last Monday, December 23rd, right before the Christmas festivities. Had some topics that I wanted to hit on in great detail. Wanted to send you into the holidays with a bang. And my old man got a fever. It racked the entire family, ruined our Christmas festivities. Shot for Thursday. That's when I planned to come back, but didn't work out that way. I was still under the weather, still recovering. So knowing that this episode was going to be on December 30th anyway, and with my topics getting older and older, getting more and more outdated, I just thought, forget it. We'll just skip the week. I clearly need to rest up. I'll be back on the 30th and we'll just carry on from there. And this was probably going to be a shorter episode anyway, but especially with me not really touching too much on the stuff I wanted to hit on last week, since it's just not relevant topics anymore, it's going to feel all the shorter. It's going to feel all the more formulaic. And I apologize for that. But nonetheless, I appreciate you for tuning in. Appreciate you for being patient with me. I'm going to get right into it. As I said, very formulaic. We're going to hit just one after the other. We always do it that way, but it's typically a bit more wordy. It typically doesn't feel as much that way. It typically feels a bit more cluttered, a bit more crowded, a bit more passion-fueled, blah, blah, blah. So we're not going to have that this time, just because I don't want to bore you with stuff you've probably already heard everyone else and their mother talk about. But I do have some thoughts on the college football playoff first round, and then we'll get into kind of tying a bow on the Floridian football season, and then we'll look ahead to this final stretch of games that we got coming up. So, very quickly here. Number 7, Notre Dame beating number 10, Indiana, 27-17. Indiana was a great story. Props to you for making it look closer at the end, but you were out of your element here. We knew you had a very clear ceiling. Ohio State exposed it, and Notre Dame did so again. I've had you losing this game by 10. Even though losing by 10 isn't a total blowout, let's be real. If you watched a game with like 2 minutes to go, this was 27-3. Let's not kid ourselves here. Indiana was outclassed. That was the term that was swirling around online with everybody on social media and just in mainstream media alike. Oh, they were outclassed. They were completely outclassed, and they were. Penn State over SMU, speaking of outclassed, we had the same thing here. SMU, similarly to the Hoosiers, they were a great story. Great story. I was happy to see you make the bracket. Some SEC diehards weren't, but I was happy to see you make it. A lot of others were as well. Nothing will ever change the fact that you and Indiana both belonged in the bracket. It's just a shame that you didn't go out with a bigger bang. 38-10, you got decimated. Number 5, Texas over number 12, Clemson, 38-24. To me, this game felt like what a 5 hosting a 12 is supposed to feel like. There was a moment where the underdog gave some pushback, making things tighter deep into the battle, but the bigger beast played a better game and had a favorable finish. You know, it wasn't some sleep-inducing downpour like SMU's 38-10 was, but it was a one-sided affair, I would say. Texas was clearly better, but as I said, 5 hosting to 12, that's how it's supposed to be. When considering how narrowly they made the bracket along with how the other whoopings went down, good on the Tigers. This could have definitely gone worse. Speaking of whoopings, we have the Buckeyes slaughtering the Vols 42-17. That's the 8 over the 9. This outcome was very important. Very important. And not just to me. It smothered just about every remaining flame that the anti-blowout pro-SEC crowd could have possibly had after the other first-round battles. As not only was it a predominantly unquestioned SEC power being dismembered this time around, but it was in what was supposed to be the most competitive matchup of the round. And I bring that up because if you had eyes after the Indiana game, after the SMU game, if you had eyes and an X account, you saw what all these idiots were talking about. Oh, well, this is just proof that these guys don't belong. And I just want the best games, dadgummit. And if that means putting more SEC teams in there, then so be it. As I said, Tennessee's an SEC team. They weren't really questioned by many people. This was supposed to be a close game. 10-win SEC team going to Columbus? Oh, this was supposed to be a tight one. It was the only game I had in the first round being decided by single digits. And look what happened. You got blown out by 25 points, and you were lucky. You were lucky it was that close. You tacked on a garbage time score. Isn't that weird? It's almost like the SEC isn't untouchable, like its fans want you to believe. It's also like blowouts are simply unpredictable, unavoidable. They're common practice in the college football world. Ain't that something? How about that? In all seriousness, though, I love how many people on social media refused to give the SEC lovers a break with this one. They ragged on Tennessee over how it's now confirmed that they didn't deserve to be in the playoff, how they wouldn't last a moment in the Big Ten, and so on. It's ridiculous to say those things, of course, but that's exactly their point. Good on them for capturing just how idiotic the Southeastern supremacists sound every single year. It's quite refreshing. If I've said it once, I've said it a million times. And I've said it, I'm sure, on this platform, but I've said it off of it as well. Blowouts cannot be avoided. I think we learned that in 2022. TCU made the bracket. They deserved to be in the bracket. They dropped 50 points on Michigan in the semifinal. Why would that team ever be doubted? But they still lost 65-7 in the national title game, right? If that can happen, I'm not interested to hear all this talk about, well, we just don't want blowouts, and we want to do everything in our power to prevent that. No, especially when we're talking about flawed resumes like some of those three-loss SEC teams that we had this year, Alabama, South Carolina, Ole Miss. I don't care to hear the arguments, period. I certainly don't when those guys are going to be the beneficiaries. Certainly don't care to hear it then. So I am so happy Ohio State got that win over Tennessee. It was a much needed win because the SEC was thinking that Indiana and SMU were proving that if you're just not in the SEC, baby, you don't belong. You just are not in your element, sweetheart. Get the heck out of here. That was the narrative with the SEC heading into the Columbus game. And Ohio State left the Volunteers disfigured, maimed them for four quarters. Those SEC folks either chose to ignore that or they got very quiet afterward. I find that funny. You're listening to the College Tribe podcast every week. As I said, almost every week. It was every week before my recent fever happened. You can find this episode of the College Tribe podcast and all previous ones on our local podcast page at ESPNPensacola.com. You can also listen to ESPN Pensacola on 99.1 FM, 1330 AM, or on your ESPN Pensacola mobile app. Now, as always, wanted to take a moment to give the Florida team some love, but I especially wanted to do so this time around as the Floridian football season is now officially over. And who better to start with than the University of Florida itself, huh? The Gators entered this season with what appeared to be the toughest schedule in all of college football. I and many others projected them to end up somewhere around 3-9, with the idea of them merely making a bowl game feeling dang near impossible. But after decimating a solid Tulane team 33-8, the Gators instead finished 8-5. Man, to me, that makes them the most impressive team in the sport this year, hands down. I know some teams on their slate didn't quite meet expectations. UCF, didn't they finish 4-8? Kentucky finished 4-8. Florida State finished 2-10. These teams had their worst seasons in years. But it was still far from easy. So for 2024 to serve as such a sizable step in the right direction for the program, that's nonetheless amazing. So again, congratulations, Florida, on a stellar year. Beyond them, we have USF. They beat San Jose State 41-39 in five overtimes. That not only gave the Bulls their second straight winning season, but it also gave us one of the better games we've seen so far this postseason. And the Spartans have been one of the more consistent programs in the Mountain West these past few years. They're not some total pushovers. They're no strangers to the whole bowl scene nowadays. So especially when remembering how terrible the Bulls were just a couple seasons ago, beating a team of San Jose State's standard and once again finishing 7-6, that means a lot to me. So good on the Bulls as well. And last but certainly not least, we have Miami. The Hurricanes lost 42-41 to Iowa State in the very memeable Pop-Tarts Bowl. I believe the Canes finished 10-3 on the season. It was a good year for Mario Cristobal and the Canes, but the main topic of discussion following the result, outside of all the mascot antics, of course, was actually not nearly as positive. Quarterback Cam Ward turned heads by playing in the game long enough to break the D1 career passing touchdown record, but refusing to get back in the game late when his Canes needed to march down the field after relinquishing their lead. It was 42-41. The Cyclones had just taken the lead, Miami needed to at least get down the field for a field goal. A Cam Ward-led Canes offense, if it taught us anything, it's that that should not be undoable. But Cam Ward didn't go out there. As a result, backup quarterback Emery Williams out of Milton, Florida, might I add, led an effort that was ultimately unsuccessful, which is what gave us that heartbreaking score that we were left with, 42-41. Unsurprisingly, the absence was criticized by many as selfish, and I have to admit I can see why. Assuming he was in complete control of how much action he saw, I don't know why he wouldn't be. Seeing Ward break the record before bailing on his team and watching them fail from the sidelines while still in his pads definitely rubs you the wrong way. To me, though, this merely tells us what we already knew about ball games like these, and that's that they don't matter. Ward was willing to add to his legacy by breaking that record. But after doing so, he wasn't going to risk injury just so he could say that he played all of the Pop-Tarts Bowl. And when you put it that way, can you really say you're surprised by his decision? Probably not. Some were even arguing that we were lucky to see him play at all. And when knowing where college football has been headed these past few years with postseason opt-outs, you really can't deny that either. So again, a good year for Miami, obviously a great one for Cam Ward, but perhaps not a particularly reassuring one for the CFB purists out there. All right, let's move on to some score predictions, shall we? We're not going to just cherry pick games. We're going to do them all. We're going to predict all the games because there's not a ton going on. So we'll go ahead and hit them all. Pretty diverse lineup here, I'll tell you that much. Just going to spitball some of these dates here. Starting tomorrow morning at 11 a.m., we've got Alabama and Michigan in Raymond James Stadium for the ReliaQuest Bowl. Man, I can't help but imagine that Alabama is going to get out some frustration here on the Wolverines. And I can't wait for them to do so, because I think they're going to. I can't wait for them to do so and use that as proof that they belonged. You just know that's going to happen. Alabama currently favored by 14. I've got them by 20. I've got the Tide 37-17. Just spitballing these scores here. Don't read too much into them. I'm just setting the tone that, yeah, Alabama's probably going to win pretty big. And as I said, 37-17, that sounds somewhere in that ballpark sounds believable to me. So I hope I'm wrong, because I do not want to hear Crimson Tide fans saying, well, the proof is in the pudding. I don't want to hear that nonsense, but you know we're going to if Alabama wins this game by a point, much less 20 like I project them to do. But I don't know. I just don't see a 7-5 Michigan winning. I know they beat Ohio State, but that means very little to me. Ohio State, I knew they were tough. I think everybody knew they were tough. A lot of people seemed to give up on them a little bit after losing to Michigan. But I knew that loss wasn't going to define them. And on the other side of that coin, I knew the win wasn't going to define Michigan. They were decent that day. They're looking to finish with 8 wins. That makes them decent now. Alabama's not great, but they're better than Michigan. We're going to see that. Louisville and Washington, this one's kind of interesting for me. Louisville's 8-4. Washington 6-6, but Washington plays a tougher conference schedule, or at least they're supposed to. This is the Sun Bowl. Louisville projected to win by 1 point, so this is supposed to be a tight game, anyone's game. I've got Louisville winning. Obviously, I've got them covering that spread. I've got the Cards around 27-20. Not too bad. Decent bowl game. One to watch flying under the radar. Its kickoff is wedged between the finish of the Alabama game and the start of South Carolina-Illinois, so it's probably going to be overlooked by a lot of folks. But it should be a good game if you stumble across it. Just mentioned that South Carolina-Illinois game. That's the Citrus Bowl. That's a top 20 matchup. Gamecocks number 15, the Illini number 20. South Carolina favored by 10. I don't have them covering, but I do have the Cocks winning 34-26. So once again, we're going to get an SEC win here. Gamecocks fans, they were very vocal about not making the playoff. They had an even worse argument than Alabama and Ole Miss. But they're going to be sitting here saying, that's proof that the Big Ten should not have had more representation than us in the bracket, and that's proof that we should have been in instead of someone like Indiana. They're going to say some nonsense like that. So once again, I'm using this not just to get, I'm using this opportunity on my platform to not just give my score predictions, but to also issue a warning to anyone else who's tired of hearing from the SEC. You're going to hear from them tomorrow if my predictions or if the point spreads are even remotely accurate. Got another SEC team playing in the Texas Bowl, LSU-Baylor. I'm surprised that Baylor's favored by 4 in this game. There must be some opt-out information that I haven't done any research on. I don't know why Baylor would be favored here. These two teams at full capacity, LSU, I think, is an easy victor. But Baylor is projected to win by 4. The spread says they are that they are favored by 4. Both teams 8-4 on the season. Even with whatever opt-outs that I'm perhaps not aware of, I'm going to take the Tigers to win this one. And I'm going to take them 35-20. I don't know. LSU, even with some opt-outs, they've got better talent than Baylor from head to toe. That should not even be debatable. I'll take LSU to win big. Why not? All right. Tomorrow night, 6:30 p.m., New Year's Eve, night game, Fiesta Bowl. First of 4 college football playoff quarterfinal matchups. The 6th seed, Penn State, taking on the 3 seed, Boise State. Broncos coming off a bye. Penn State favored by 11. I don't see a world in which Penn State does not cover that. Boise State's going to find themselves being in similar company as someone like SMU, someone like Indiana, where it's like, hey, man, you were a great story, but you're not going to win this, and we know you're not. I would love to see a Boise State win here. I just don't see it happening. I have the Nittany Lions 36-17. That brings us to Wednesday, the rest of the quarterfinal games. Number 5, Texas. Number 4, Arizona State. That's in the Peach Bowl at noon, New Year's Day. Texas favored by 13. Funny enough, I did not look at the point spread for this game at all, but I think it's exactly right. I have Texas winning a rather high-scoring game, 44-31. I think Arizona State has a very sound offense. I don't know how good their defense is, but I know they haven't faced someone with the talent of Texas yet. So I think Texas is actually going to have an offensive field day, which is very rare for them this season. But they put up 38 on Clemson, so it's not like them putting up some points is unheard of. I think they're going to run up the score a bit on Arizona State, and it's going to be a high-scoring game, 44-31. Ohio State, Oregon. Man, this one's tough. Ohio State favored by 2.5 in the Rose Bowl at 4:00. Biggest stage in college football. Some of the biggest implications. Ohio State looked like quite possibly the most complete team of the first round. Rematching Oregon? Give me the Buckeyes. I got the Buckeyes in another fairly high-scoring game, 38-33. So I've got them winning. I've got them covering the spread, but I still have it being a phenomenal game. Very competitive. But I just know that rematches are tricky. I don't know if Ohio State's going to be hung over at all, but I think Oregon could be rusty. And I just, it's, you don't know how difficult it is to beat a team like Ohio State twice. It's games like these that rematches are seen as so difficult for the first victor. So I got to assume Oregon crumbles here. And that's not a knock on Oregon. That is giving praise to Ohio State. Last but not least, we got Notre Dame and Georgia. Man, this one, Georgia favored by 1 point. In the Sugar Bowl, 7:45 p.m., the evening of New Year's Day. That setting, the Superdome in New Orleans, definitely favors Georgia. And I think that could be a difference maker here, which is why that's one reason why I'm so surprised Georgia's only favored by 1 point. But I know that that has to do with Carson Beck's absence. I don't know how Gunnar Stockton's going to do for 4 quarters against Notre Dame. But I've got Georgia winning. I got it being a pretty physical game, pretty low scoring. Give me the Dogs, 25-18. I just imagine Notre Dame's going to be out of their element. Because I said this about Texas and Arizona State. Notre Dame hasn't faced a team like Georgia all year. Hasn't faced a team like this all year. So I think we're going to see Georgia play flawed. I think they're going to be an imperfect team. But Notre Dame, physically, I think is going to meet their match, and it's going to be very low scoring as a result. So once again, give me Georgia to win. Obviously, we're talking 1 point spreads again. Of course, I'm going to have Georgia covering that. Give me the Dogs once again, 25-18. All right, so those are your quarterfinal games. I mean, quarterfinal matchups, man, those should be pretty good. I had 3 of the first round games being decided by double digits, so it's not like I looked at them to be especially competitive. but they were less competitive than I had envisioned. I hope that's not the case with this quarterfinal round, and I don't think it will be. I think this time we're actually going to get some good matchups. I think there's only going to be one one like actually like boring game. But I don't even know if you can call Penn State Boise State boring. I don't even know if you can, because there's going to be a decent amount of scoring, and the losing team is going to have Ashton Jeanty, and he's never boring. So I don't know. These games are going to be even more competitive than I think. I'm not sure. I mean, we are seeing some pretty narrow spreads after all. But man, I can't wait for them. That part remains true nonetheless. And I say that even with all the first round beatdowns. I can't wait for the quarterfinals. Thursday, just one game. January 2nd, 6:30 p.m., the Gator Bowl. This one will hopefully be good. Duke, 9-3, taking on number 14 Ole Miss, also 9-3. I think this is going to be an LSU-Baylor situation. Two teams with the same records, but they have very different paths getting to where they've gotten. Ole Miss currently expected to win by 17 in Jacksonville. I don't think Ole Miss wins by that much, but I do have them winning by almost that much. I've got the Rebels 28-13. I got them winning by 15. I don't know the opt-out situations for either team here. I know that Duke is not going to have that Malik Murphy kid because he entered the transfer portal. Don't know where Ole Miss stands with Jackson Dart. I think he may not be playing in this game. Either way, I've got Ole Miss winning by a couple of scores. Seems like the spread agrees, has them winning by 3 officially. So I guess we can all say that the consensus is Ole Miss wins convincing. All right, North Texas, Texas State, First Responder Bowl. Kind of a drop into relevance here. 6-6 North Texas taking on the 7-5 Bobcats. Texas State favored by 13.5. I don't think they win by quite that much, but I got them 30-21. So I do have them officially by 2 scores. Minnesota Va Tech, the Duke's Mayo Bowl at 6:30 on Friday, January 3rd. In Charlotte, Minnesota's got a better record and they played tougher competition. It's as simple as that. They're favored by 7.5. I think they cover that. I think they win 36-24. Minnesota's a very slept-on team. Taking on the Hokies, Va Tech was just so hit or miss. They were so disappointing this year. So to have a team like PJ Flex, Golden Gophers, that are consistently kind of slept on, consistently kind of overlooked or disrespected, I think Minnesota is going to capitalize on that, and I think they're going to win by double digits here. They're a good team. They're not great, but they're better than Va Tech, however much that's worth. All right, Saturday, January 4th, we've got the Bahamas Bowl. The Bahamas Bowl in Nassau. Forgive me for giggling, just very random stakes here. Buffalo and Liberty, 8-4, taking on an 8-3. Buffalo surprisingly favored here by 2.5. I know they were a pretty underrated team throughout the season as well, but I've still got the Flames winning 35-30. I think both of these teams put on a good game, but I just can't take a MAC team to beat Liberty in a bowl. I just don't see that happening. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm still sleeping on Buffalo, because I don't think anyone had them winning 8 games this year. But I just don't see Liberty losing on that stage. And last but not least, speaking of big stages, the FCS title game. It's up here, so why not give a prediction for it? North Dakota State. This stage is second nature to them. These implications, second nature. The Bison are 13-2. Montana State 15-0. Montana State currently favored by 3. I got to take the Bobcats to win that. I know you're not supposed to go against the Bison, but Montana State, they've been a respectable program over the years. They're unbeaten. 15-0. And they kind of beat up on a team or two to get to that point in the bracket. So I take them to win, and I take them to cover. 31-23. I think that's a fair score, competitive, not a blowout. Obviously, good game in Hard Rock Stadium, or excuse me, in Toyota Stadium in Frisco, Texas. Give me Montana State to win that one. Once again, 31-23. You've been listening to the College Try Podcast. We will be back Monday, December. We will be back Monday, January 6th. That is, no, forgive me, Tuesday, January 7th. My goodness, I'll get it right one of these days, I swear. Tuesday, January 7th. Just taking it one week at a time now. Not going to try to predict far in advance when these episodes are going to come out. Just Tuesday, January 7th. That's all you got to know. I'm looking at these dates here on the screen and I'm getting jumbled. Just know, Tuesday, January 7th. I'll say it one final time. We'll see you then. Take care.